Father God, on this resurrection day, because you conquered the grave, we've conquered sin and death. We ask, Father God, that your mighty hand would be upon this service. We pray, Father God, that if there's someone here today in the sound of my voice who doesn't know you as Lord and as Savior, that they would come and bend their knee and their heart to you, that they would be saved by the redemptive work on the cross at Calvary. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and roll that video. Thank you guys for being here today.
Yes, Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead, and that day, that Easter Sunday morning, that first Easter, when Mary and Mary Magdalene and Salome went to the grave expecting to anoint a dead body, they saw the angel sitting there. And they said, "Where is Jesus?" The angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." I submit to you tonight that that's the greatest news the world has ever heard. He is not here. He has conquered the grave. He's alive. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there's more proof that Jesus Christ rose from the dead than almost any other fact in Roman history. I don't believe there's a fact in ancient history today so well proven as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But even if there was no proof, no historical proof, no scientific proof, and there is, I would still believe it, because I believe this book is God's inspired word, and the whole early church went up and down the country preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the thing that shook the Roman Empire, that a man had risen from the dead, that he was alive, that death could not hold him. Christ is alive. He's a living Savior.
You know, they were, the praise team was singing about the dry bones coming alive. That actually comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. If you would turn there with me, we're going to pray. So this will be our offering message, and I'll ask the ushers and the deacons to come forward. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit." So let me say this before we get too far into this, that in order for an army to move, an army for the Lord to move, there has to be the word, and then there has to be a movement of the Holy Spirit. So anytime you see the Spirit of God betrayed by breath or wind or something like that, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen? Just say that with me, Holy Ghost, so I know you're there. So he says, "He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry." Say that with me. They were very dry. I was, we was preaching last night up at, we had church out. Our first service out at the Warrenton Baptist Church out there in Warrenton. It was, a golly whopper, I'll tell you. It was just, they were swinging from the chandelier, standing on their head. And so we were having church there, and then, and I think the, you know, I just make it short because it's actually a long story. We were having church out there, and then when I walked out into the parking lot, one of the security team met me out there. He said, "Man," he said, I thought the place was going to cave in." He said, "We were on the sanctuary's on the second floor, so it kind of looked like a trampoline because we were all kind of jumping in there. That was the Spirit of God moving in there." And he goes, "I thought the floor was going to fall in, but nonetheless, that's the Spirit of the living God moving among the church." And one guy came up, he said, "Man, I ain't seen this many people in this church in so long." So it was awesome to see the hand of God move there yesterday, last night. So that the dry bones were coming alive out there. And it says, he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. So that's what I'm doing right now, over the church body right now. I'm preaching and prophesying over you through the word of the Lord. It says, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Church, I want you to know that. And I will lay sinews upon you. So this is talking about the tendons. So when the prophecy comes down and the Spirit of the living God is on, that's when the church comes alive. It starts with the tendons and it starts with the flesh. And just like in the Garden of Eden, after God made man, he wasn't really alive until... He wasn't really alive until God's breath was blown into his nostrils. And that's when man became a living being. And that's what we need today, is for these dry bones to come alive, church. All right. So he says, I will, let's go down to verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. Behold, a rattling. Say that with me, a rattling. So what that looks like is maybe somebody in the back of the church, they might, you know, when they hear the message and they go to a church and hand-raising church, or they're dancing and clapping, it might start off with somebody going, amen, at the back of the church. That's a rattling. Or somebody might say, hallelujah. That's a rattling. Somebody might raise their hands. That's a rattling. Somebody might be dancing around. That's a rattling. The church might all get up off their chairs. That's a rattling. That's when the church is alive and well, is when the church starts firing off and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me keep going in here. It gets better. So, you know what I said? I said in the last service, you know, when we got out there to Warrenton, we were all kind of, and here's how it started out there. We were all there, and Pastor Aaron parked up front, and then he had his American flag there in the back of his dually pickup truck, and then he had a barbecue pit there, and then another guy, we're barbecuing out front, and then all the rest of the people started showing up, and the bikes showed up, and the trucks showed up, and the people showed up, and we started having church on the outside, and then we took the church inside the building, and that's when everybody started to shout and celebrate about what God was doing out there last night. So that's the dry bones coming alive. You know, as I want to say this before we get into the rest of the scripture here, when we were out there and we were waving to all these people, we had some of the people pulling in, and they said, you know what, man, we are so glad to see something happening out here at the church. And it felt so good to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ out into that neighborhood. And it feels that good bringing it here today in the house of the Lord. Amen. Verse 9, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain, that they may be alive. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they live, and they stood on their feet. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand on their feet. And an exceedingly great army. Amen. So this is the gospel of the Lord today. This is the army of God. Now I'm gonna pray for you today, and I did this in the first service because I was reading in my quiet time. Let's drop the house lights down for just a second. I was reading in my quiet time today, and I was reading in Psalm 37, and it talked about God, you know, helping you with the areas that your heart is heavy. And I'm just going to ask all of you that are here today, if there's something that is exceedingly heavy on your heart, I just want you to raise your hand, and I want to pray for you before the service starts today. So, Father God, there's something very heavy on the hearts of the people that are here and that are here and here and people who are watching. I pray, Father God, that you lift this heaviness off their heart. I ask you, Father God, to help them with their struggle, whether it's loss or relational or some type of mental situation or an addiction or a marriage or whatever it is, and help them overcome that, Father God, today on this resurrection day. Because you defeated the grave, Father God, we have conquered sin by what you have done. We thank you for the redemptive blood that was poured out at the cross at Calvary. And Father God, today we also ask that you would bless not only the service, but the worship, the word. We pray, Father God, for the offering today, and it is picked up, that you would be glorified through it as well. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's applaud the Lord, and you may be seated. Let the resurrection service start today. Hallelujah. So welcome your neighbor one more time who just showed up right there behind you. All right. We always say we're glad you made it, Jack. Amen. And then after our message today, Friday night we took the Lord's Supper right at the beginning of the service, but we're going to wait on that for just a minute, and we'll do that at the end of the service. So turn with me into Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42, and I'm going to take you from Thursday to Friday, and then I'm going to take you to Sunday morning like we have here today. So I'm very intrigued by the Garden of Gethsemane. And when I was walking out of the Warrenton Baptist Church yesterday, there was a friend of ours who goes to church here. They were there, and they said, "Pastor, the Garden of Gethsemane is so awesome." She said, "I was there." She was there last year, and she said, "While I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I got to walk up and touch a tree, an olive tree that was 2,000 years old." And she said, "It's very small, but it's very powerful." So the things of God don't always have to be large to be powerful if the Spirit of the living God's on it. Do you believe with me on that? Amen? All right, so let's get into the story. I'm going to pray for this one more time. So, Father God, let this story come alive in the hearts of each and every person who is gathered here. And, Lord God, we are so excited about the victory we have in you. And we pray this in thy name, in Jesus. Amen. All right. So 14:32. So we're talking about Thursday here. And it says, they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And, you know, the more I look at this, and I can't tell you how many times I've preached out of this week, but I think more and more like Jesus is almost talking to these men kind of like kids. Because sometimes, you know, to get a man's attention, you have to kind of slow the roll down just a little bit. My wife will slow it down so I can absorb what it is she's saying. She'll tell me, she's like, "Now don't eat this because we're having this for dinner tomorrow." Well, I'm like any guy, I'm not thinking of tomorrow, I'm thinking of tonight. Or maybe not, watch this, not that far off, because that's way far off. I'm thinking of like right now. Amen, if you're a guy. And I told you, my wife can hide things from me in the refrigerator. Scott, here's where she's got to put them. She's got to put them like on this shelf down here. If you put it down on that shelf, I ain't never going to find it. Or here's a real hidden place, the crisper down at the bottom. Put it there, ladies. He'll never open it up. True story. I mean, it's got to be. And I'm being honest. Right here, for refrigerator and pantry. If she covers it up with a grocery bag, I'm out on that deal. And if you're a guy, don't you hope like something happens in the middle of the night, like something's different, it's in there now, finally, the thing you wanted, the cookies or whatever. Oh, yeah, thank God you delivered them to me. Yeah, they're there, thank you. But she will always, and then she'll come in and find it for me. She goes, it's right here. And I go, oh, I didn't know it was way down there. It's like we're scuba diving to go get it or something. So Jesus is talking to these guys in that tone, really. He's kind of going, sit here and, you know, stay guard and stay awake. Stay awake. And, you know, my whole deal with the food and the recliner and the, you know. And he took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. So you have Jesus is fully God, fully man, full of the Spirit. But while he was thinking about it being in the Garden of Gethsemane and being crucified, we talked about that on Good Friday service and all this stuff, you were on his mind and he's fighting the spirit against the flesh a little bit. My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. So what does that look like, that the hour might pass from him? So he's thinking right here. He's going, you know what, man? He's going, I know what I'm going to be facing. I got the crown of thorns, the beating, the spitting. I'm being beat unmanlike. All this craziness and it's all and a mock trial. Don't you hate that when people are saying stuff about you and it's not even true? So he is interviewed by all these different people and the scribes and the Pharisees and Pilate and all that's going on and on and on. And you're like, and you're thinking in your mind, Jesus, why don't you rise up and just lay all these people out? Because if he did it that way, prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. So he can't act out in the flesh, but the Spirit's still driving him here. So let's listen to this. Verse 36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things, say this with me, class, all things are possible. Stop. All things are possible. We're reminded today that Jesus himself said, Father, with you, all things are possible. So hold on for a second. That helps me out just a little bit. If you're struggling, you need to remember that all things are possible with God. You know, and sometimes we have to say it to ourselves over and over again so we start to actually believe the scriptures. We have to tell ourselves, we have to encourage ourselves to go, you know what, I got this thing on my foot, or I got this thing on my lung, or I got this thing in my mouth, or I got this thing on my head, and he told me all things are possible. So if I start to believe that, and I start to think like that, and I start to pray like that, and I start to cast doubt out, my faith will start to grow, and all I need is just a little bit to get that party started. Just a little. He said, just come to me today with a mustard seed of faith. Now, I know some of your guys' stuff isn't working out for you right now, but if you can just get together a mustard seed of faith, God will take over from there. And I believe that's what he's doing today. He's just looking through the crowd here today and looking out in live stream and go, is there anybody that has a mustard seed of faith believing for their miracle today? And I'll just ask you to raise your hand right where you're at, and I'll pray for you right now. Father God, for that mustard seed of faith, I pray, Father God, for them and their miracle. And whatever that is and whatever that looks like, I'm praying and I'm standing with them and pray that it come to fruition, not because you owe them anything, but because you're a good God and you love them. So I stand with them and believe for this miracle in thy name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I told you this story before, but it's so heartwarming that I want to tell it again about the mustard seed, Pastor Jay. I got a chance it was quite a while ago. It was probably, I don't know, it was 10, 15 years ago. There was a lady that come to our church, and she was an elderly lady. She was probably getting closer to her 80s, and she ended up getting sick, and she'd been in church all her life. She was always in church. And I want to let you know, just because you're in church doesn't mean that you're in Jesus. You have to ask Jesus to come into your life, because that's true love. He'll never impose his will on your life. So I want you to receive Jesus today for your benefit. Amen. So I went to see this lady, Jack. I went to go see this lady, and she was in the hospital, and she was dying. She was dying. And I really knew that she didn't have a whole lot of time, so I was just like, you know what, man, this lady's been in church all her life. Surely she's saved. You know, surely she's, you know, I mean, she's got to be saved. She told me she was in church all her life. And I find that very, very confusing sometimes. And maybe she's never been challenged in her faith. So I asked her, I can't remember what her name was, and I asked her, I said, ma'am, I said, are you born again? And she looked at me, and when you ask somebody that question, if they're born again, you'll find out if they're saved or not. And she looked at me, and she told me she wasn't born again. I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, in my spirit, you kind of think some people look holy, but they're really not. You know, I mean, you're looking at him like, man, that dude's holy, and you find out he's not born again either. And I led her to the Lord, and she said she didn't have anything in her. She really didn't even have much fight left in her. And I said, do you have enough faith to trust that Jesus is Lord? I said, do you have a mustard seed? And she sat up off the bed. She said, yeah. She said, I have that much faith. And she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And then shortly thereafter, she died. So what I want to encourage you, whatever that is that you're believing for today, I believe that it can happen. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. I mean, it's not just to have more church. It's so you can have more victories in your life. Amen. And that's how he conquered the grave, and he conquered the cross as well. So here we go back to the guys. He said, Simon Peter, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? I remember that. You ever get like, I've told you this before. Some of the moms of the church, they're able to hold their babies for like hours on end. And then the guy's around, he's like, if you bring him to one of the Have Bible Travel events, he's got a soda in one hand and a burger like in the other. And the mom's like, can you hold her for a little bit? And they're like, oh, man. Let me do it again. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, hold him now? And a dude's only built to hold a child so long. No matter how muscular they are. They're just like, you know, and they're doing this. And the mom, God's made the mom to where she can, she can hold the baby, and she can do other things with the other hand, laundry and cooking and things. That's the way God's talking to Peter right now. He said, can't you stay awake for like 1 hour? And then he's mulling this over in his mind as a dude. He's like, oh, I don't know, man. Just had my belly full. Just had Chick-fil-A. Oh. I mean, I don't know if I told you this story. I'm going to tell you this, Mike. So Jess gets there. You know, Keelan's there, and he's got, you know, this food, that food. And then Jess comes in a little later last night after church. She goes, Uncle Pat, I got a burger and fries. Do you want it? And I'm like, yeah. I'm awake, ain't I? I'm just a yes man. I'm just like, yes, I want that. And what about the rest of the shake? Can you drink that? And I'm like, you're dang Skippy. I can. Give me that. And it being Easter, the kids are around with the little baskets of goodies. I'm like, anything in there for me? Yes, I'll take that. So here it is. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And God's people said amen. Oh, well, hold on now. Here's the deal. We know that the devil tempts. But when the devil tempts, God is able to give you a way out. It got quiet. God is able to give you a way out of that temptation, and it don't matter what it looks like. The goal today is to take that way out and not fall into temptation, church. And God's people said amen. And again, he went away and prayed and sang the same words. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping? Take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinner. Rise, let's go and see my betrayers at hand. So before we get in, turn with me into Mark 15. So all these people are coming to get him, and I call them, I call them the Keystone Cops, because they're there with clubs, and they're there with torches, and they're like, we're finally going to get Jesus. We're finally going to get him. Here's the deal. Nobody can get Jesus. He gave his life up willingly to the Keystone Cops so you and I could be saved. Now we're going into Friday. So as soon as morning, the chief priests had consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. We talked a little bit about this on Good Friday. So here's Pilate. Pilate's in the middle of this mess with all these ruffians and all these people who are coming against Jesus. And I think Pilate, like a lot of you guys that get in with some of the bad news stuff. And I think we need to start saying yes to Jesus and less to the enemy. So Pilate's in there, and he's in on this deal. And then once he gets in so far, he finally starts to realize, you know what, man, this ain't going to work out so good. I need to try to back out of it. But his friends are still encouraging him. So I want to let you teenagers know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. You need to get away from it. God's trying to give you an opportunity to get away from that. So you don't have to go along to get along. You don't have to go along with the crowd. But here's the deal. Pilate gets sucked into this deal. Verse 2, and Pilate asked him, are you king of the Jews? And he answered him, you have said so. And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, have you no charge to answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. But Jesus made no further answer, so Pilate was amazed. So what he's thinking right now, all the people are going, won't you defend yourself? How come you're not speaking up for yourself? Here's the deal. Jesus doesn't need to speak up for himself. Just his deity alone says enough. So they're sitting there and all this stuff is going down and Pilate's really starting to get nervous. And if you read some of the other gospels, you find out that Pilate's wife says, hey man, don't mess with this guy. I had a dream about him. He's fixing to go off here. Verse 6, now at the feast, he used to release. Now I want to talk to you about how bad sin can actually get. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they ask. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And as he answered them, saying, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd. So he's trying to get everybody to go along with him here on this deal. He stirs up the crowd to have him release for him Barabbas instead. So here we got, do you want me to release the king of the Jews? Or do you want me to release the murderer, this smelly dude named Barabbas? And that's how evil things can get when you're not serving the Lord. They go, you know what, man? And it sounds like, sometimes it sounds almost like a political party. Oh, hold on for a second. Look at me for a second. Don't look around. And they know it's evil, but they don't want to go outside their party, so they just keep egging it on. And they go, should we turn around and should we redo this and rethink this because this is really evil? They go, nah, just go ahead with it anyways. So here's why I'm going to ask you to stand up in the church, because it's very important about what I'm going to charge you with. So there's a lot of evil that are going on in our world, especially in our highways and byways, in our public offices, in our schools, and you find out all these things, and everybody's kind of going along to get it. We don't want to cause any ripples. We don't want to cause any heat anywhere. So we just watch this. We just don't say nothing about it. And maybe somehow you can play a little music there, Greg. And somehow maybe it'll fix itself. God just needs one person to rise up. Now listen to this for just a second. So everybody, he tried to get the crowd all pumped up. And I know what it's like in a crowd, and I don't know what it's like when you're a teenager or you're a young person or maybe part of a political party. And you're looking around and you can kind of sniff it out and you go, you know what, man, that's whacked. God just needs one person to stand up and go, you know what? I'm not doing that. Hold on for a second. I'm not going to do that. I'm not standing for that. You go, well, hold on, that goes against my party. Here's the deal. Who cares? The church needs to make up its mind today that we're just not going to go against the commandments of God. Oh, we're going to stay here for a second. Hold on. And then watch. So we do this all the time. But then, Terry, it has to start in my house. We ain't going to act like that. Well, we've always acted like we always did it this way. We always did the, and all the things are, and I'm not going to go naming them and giving them cute little tags. But this is what Jesus died for. For one person, one guy in the congregation is just going to go, you know what, man, we ain't doing that anymore. And you may have done it for years and generations. Oh, we always did it. We yuck it up and we go to church. But when we leave here, man, we act like our hair's on fire. Talk all we want, watch whatever we want. We get involved in all kinds of stuff. Here's the deal. You need to let that stuff go. It's wicked and it's nasty and it's not of God. Just one person in the church just needs to rise up. And then when they get home, they need to rise up in their family and go, you know what, man, we ain't doing that anymore. We ain't watching that show anymore. We ain't going to listen to that radio station anymore. And we ain't going to just sit on our backsides while the world's going to hell and the hogs are eating it. When we walk out of these church doors today, we're going to make a difference. One person at a time. That's how Jesus changed the world, one person at a time. It's called the Great Commission. Now let me finish this and we'll get you ready for the Lord's Supper. You know, I want to tell you this before I get back to the story. I had my friend Benny, and maybe he's watching today. He had church service this morning, 7 o'clock out there. He's the pastor of the Warrenton Baptist Church. And he told me, he sat down next to me, he said, man, if my people don't start shouting like your people on Resurrection Day, he said, man, I don't know when they're going to shout. If you're not shouting and excited about Jesus on Resurrection Day, we're in trouble. If there isn't something just a little bit special about this day, and I'm not talking about eggs and candy. That's fine. That's good. That's all right. But if you don't walk out of here and go, this is my day of victory. This is my family's day of victory. Jesus has conquered the cross, and he has conquered the grave. And because he lived, I'm going to start living. And let me say this just a couple. I got to say this because it's just so real. And when we get, we were doing the Lord's Supper just about like this out there. And I just sat in the front row after I got done preaching. I just preached and I just sat down. And man, Tony had so many people just walk by me. They were like this and like this. And some people didn't really know that you could celebrate in church. And one person walked past me like, it's like a secret thumbs up. They went like this. They went, yeah. Yeah. You went like, yeah. Down here where nobody could see it like you and God, and that's it. Listen to me. And you know you're having church when people leave with a smile. And so today is a day of victory for you guys. It's a day of victory for me. So let me finish this story here real quick, and then we'll get into the Lord's Supper. I'm going to go to the crucifixion, and I'll speed it up here. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in the country, and the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry the cross. I often one time would wonder if I would be the guy that would carry a cross. If I was there, would I help Jesus carry the cross? I know we said we would in church. Listen to this. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. And they divided his garments among them, casting lots to them to decide who would take them. Oh my! Not only do we not want the prisoner released, we want Jesus crucified. We want him on the cross. Then we're going to throw dice to see who gets his clothes. That's about as evil as it gets. And I think sometimes when they're throwing dice for his clothes, it's not because they want him. They just don't want somebody else to have him. It's kind of like a funeral. After somebody dies, everybody's starting to divide up things. An old picture, an old sewing machine or something. It's not because we want the sewing machine. It's no good to us because we don't sew. Watch this. We just don't want you to have it. Hold on. Don't act like that here. That's the way sometimes people can get when they've fallen away from the Lord. We don't necessarily want these things, but we just don't want somebody else to have them. So they're rolling dice for Jesus' clothes. That's about as evil as it gets, isn't it? Can you imagine the guy that won the dice and he gets Jesus' tunic and his loincloth, and all of a sudden he's going, you know what, man? I shouldn't have took them. I shouldn't have took that. Do you ever take something and then afterwards you go, you know what, man, I shouldn't have done that? Today's the day you repent of it today. Because it's stuck on you like glue. And in the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land. So that means that Jesus took the sin of the world upon him to the cross. And he said, Eloi, Eloi, el sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Don't you know that I'm hurting today? Jesus feels your pain today. He feels the same pain that you feel today. that loss, that separation, that relationship, that friend, that family, that child, all that. He feels the same thing you do today. He was betrayed by people. He felt like he was forsaken by his father. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for a kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body. So we know the story. He buries it in a borrowed tomb. In 16:1 says, when the Sabbath was just past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint him the very early on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. When the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and as they were saying to one another, who will roll the stone away for the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, at first they saw the stone rolled back. The stone was rolled away. And I thought, I've read this story, I can't tell you how many times, and I'm reminded over and over, the stone really wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. Stones can't hold Jesus. Shackles can't hold Jesus. The cross couldn't hold Jesus. He rolled the stone away so people could go in and look that he's not there anymore. He has risen. I don't know about you, but man, that says a mouthful to me. A stone rolled in front of a cave, keep Jesus down? Nothing can keep Jesus down. And all the born-again believers, you need to remember this today. Nothing can keep you down if you're born again and you've been sanctified the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's a shout for victory. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to close your eyes and then we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper. I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked that elderly lady. And you might be saying in your mind, if you're a young person, Pastor Pat, you've been asking the same question for years and years. It's because you keep walking in my church. You keep walking in my church. I want to ask you one question. And I'll start with my family. Are you all born again? That's where the question's got to start. It has to start with my family and my children and my grandchildren that are sitting here in this church today. Because it doesn't mean a whole lot if I'm not preaching to my family. Have you given your life to Jesus or are you born again? You know what? It's easy to sleep at night when you know your kids have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to ask you something today, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. Do you pray for your children every day? Every day. Terry, every day. I'm talking on your knees praying. By name. What a great responsibility. Every day I pray for my children and my grandchildren. Now for all the rest of God's children that are here today, are you born again? All of you? Every one of you? I did that same call just hours ago out at Warrenton Baptist Church and we had some people walk the aisle. And you say, yeah, Pastor Pat, I'd like to be born again, but quite frankly, it's kind of scary. Look at me for a second. You want me to tell you what's scarier than being born again? What's scarier than that's going to hell and frying forever. And I think people have a misconception about hell. They think it's like a party in there, and all their party pals are going to be there. Let me tell you what's going on with your party pals. If they don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're on the barbecue menu. And you don't die in hell. You burn forever. I don't know about you, but I'm signing up for heaven today. I can tell you that. Let me pray for you. So, Father God, with the heads bowed, the eyes closed, and maybe a hand raised, someone in the house ready to get born again. Just say, that's me, God. I'm that person the pastor's talking about. Be bold about it. Put your hand up and just say, I'm that guy that needs to be saved. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I need to be sanctified by the blood of Jesus. It's a special day. This ain't like any other day. Being saved on Resurrection Day has got to be, it's got to be the best day in the world to be saved. And then ask him right where you're at. I'm not even going to ask you to come down. I want you to pray right where you're at. Say, Jesus, save my soul. Saints, do you know that there's people in this sanctuary right now praying for Jesus to save their life? That's a powerful prayer, Mike. Come into my heart, Jesus. Help me live for you. I want to be sanctified. I want to be baptized. I want to be born again. I want to be shouting. I want to be jumping. I want to be celebrating about my new birth today. And Father God, I give you the glory for sending your son Jesus. On this day, all God's people said amen.